Freddie, just picture this. It's Monday evening. I'm doing my weekly food shop. I'm in Waitrose wearing my barber face mask. I'm about to buy chicken chunks and the person next to me realises that, hold on, is that Lash Banter 10? I pull down my face mask and I start saying, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. Because we're in Waitrose by Clapham Common, everybody starts to realise, oh my God, the chief chat officer, the CEO of Clapham's here. They all follow me to the boozer where I'm buying Slimline Tonic and Gin, and they all start singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash. More lash. All of a sudden, the head of Waitrose, Clapham Common, comes over and goes, can everyone just stop? I say, hold on, mate. I'm the CEO of Clapham. Do you mind? He goes, oh, sorry, I didn't mind. Can I give you a discount? I say, yes. He suddenly starts singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash. More lash. And everyone joins in and they're all singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. And then basically, that's how I'll end up getting 20% off all my shopping at Waitrose.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 6 of the Rig Biz podcast. The sun is shining, and to my right, I have another beacon of light, Mr. Archie Curzon. You're looking, very sweaty, mate, I must say. What's going on?
Yeah, I've just been doing some boxing on the common with my mate Kenty. That's bloody good fun, mate. With sun's beaming down, I'm just in a pair of shorts. He's got the pads, and I'm just going left, right, uppercut, and it's just such good chat. And the best thing about it is that you're getting a tan, you're burning calories, but also you look seriously cool,
and the ladies are looking as
well. I always make sure, mate, that I go in the middle of the common where, you know, where everyone's sitting, and we just work out there. I love an audience. That's where I come alive.
Did you have any ladies approach you on the park then and say, like, Jesus Christ, you're in good nick? Or
no one really approached me, but you could just tell,
then you understand about your work.
Yeah, a lot of people were like just staring at us while we're doing it, because like what Kenty does, he goes like 1-2 uppercut. And then I go like, oof, oof, oof. And he's like, okay, 1-2, 1-2, like this. And so we're shouting combination, working on communication skills, which is important for rugby, but also just lets people know we're here. It's that the best combination is the 1-2, 3-4, hook, hook, uppercut.
Wow.
And I'll just go like, because it's all about breathing technique.
You're a supremely gifted athlete.
Yeah.
Now, I saw yesterday, or was it a couple of days ago now, you had a...
Sometimes what I'll do in between the 1-2s, I'll do a few press-ups on my fists.
Because
I've got this Fitbit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this thing's just helping me absolutely destroy calories by the minute.
Arch, I saw a couple of days ago online you had a bit of a spat with a certain Dolly Alderton.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know who she is.
But I think she's a best-selling author.
Well, there you go. Not many authors have good chat, and her chat was pretty smelly. And she was literally ripping Clapham to shreds. I'm not going to have it. I'm CEO of Clapham, and I will fight for my people. I mean, just read to me what she said.
She said, and last, you might find it helpful to know that in all my years of field research, I've continuously found Clapham to be the place where the worst men in London congregate. It might be an idea to move. Or if you're fond of the common and the high density of Gale's bakeries, then stay put for the greenery and pain aux raisins, but go elsewhere to look for love.
Yeah, what on earth is she chatting about? She's obviously been meeting, like, guys by the skate park. Mm. That's all I can put it down to. She's obviously not been to number 32. She's obviously not frequented Infernos. She's obviously not encountered the Triangle of Terror. I mean, has she ever been to Northcote Road, Freddie? I mean, has she ever heard of it? She probably just doesn't even know what Northcote Records is. You go down there, okay, and there are an abundance of guys who are in seriously good nick, have got great lids, fantastic chat, aren't wearing any socks, have got great fashion sense, and love tossing the pill about. I mean, name me any girls that don't want that. I mean, if she'd seen me today boxing, doing the 1-2, hook, hook, uppercut, uppercut, she'd probably have a different point of view.
She couldn't resist.
I would have gone over there glistening, and I would have been like, look, you know, I know you know about Gales. Okay, we've got a lot. Sorry, we all have high basic salaries. Can all afford Gales?
Mm.
You know, if you want to go to Nero Coffee, then why don't you try Stockwell?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise, look, do you want to go for a drink? I take it to number 32. We sit on the balcony. You know, I still have my top off. I'd have a gin and tonic, you know, to try and loosen up things.
Sure.
And she would be absolutely putty in my hands.
You'd probably end up dating. At least shagging.
Probably.
Well, talking about Northcote Records, mate, yeah. And Northcote Road, you must be so happy to see that your initiative, because you said last year you wanted
did.
To make Northcote Road one great giant street party or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they've done
it. And now it is. It is such good chat down there.
Mm-hmm.
It is just lash without cars.
Yeah.
That's some of the best lash you can have. I'm actually now working on getting a petition going to ban cars in Old Town.
Really?
Buses, because let's face it, who in Clapham takes a bus?
Well, I think quite
and
a
also,
few
I think after 7 p.m. on the weekend, Clapham High Street should just be pedestrianised so that you know when you're coming out of Inferno's, you're not going to get hit by a car when you're absolutely steamboating.
I've asked Sophie Milner, the dating expert, to come back on.
So we can
review, sort of, you know, we're 6 weeks in now. You know, we've had Lottie,
I'm fuming about this Dolly girl.
Mate, calm down. We've got to move on.
I mean, what's going on? How dare she says that?
Well, mate, hopefully Sophie can lighten up the room because, you know, we're going to...
That's just going to put off girls outside of Clapham going on a date with me.
Yeah. Well, we've got bigger fish to fry, Arch, because...
I guess, actually, it's not that bad a thing because I always did imagine that I would marry someone who lived in Clapham.
Yeah, that's true. It's actually just made it better in a way.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Yeah thanks, Dolly.
Yeah.
Hashtag thank you, Dolly.
Yeah, but I'll still see her in court.
Yeah, of course. Well, so Sophie's going to come on. We're going to just quickly talk about what went wrong with Lottie, what went wrong on the walking date. I think you've got something to say about the celebrity dating app and also this date on Saturday. So should we get her on?
Yeah. Hi, Milsey.
Hey, Archie. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well. Very well. Great to have you back on. It's good to just give you a little update.
So what's been going wrong? Is it them or is it you?
Well, Sophie, I thought we were going to take
me.
Well, I thought we were going to take you through his sort of 3 or 4 dates since we last spoke to you. He'll make a comment,
okay.
And then you can hopefully analyze, review, and give him confidence to pursue something successful once. So we started off with Lottie Lyon.
Oh, the lioness.
She
needed to be tamed.
Was she tamed?
Well, the thing is, Freddie, I actually never met her. So that was the difficult thing. But she was just very... the thing is, Sophie, she seemed very promiscuous on Instagram. It didn't seem like I was the only one in the picture. And, you know, I'm Archie Cousin. I'm CEO of Clapham. I've got to be the only one in the picture. And she was with other guys on Instagram. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to play second fiddle, you know? There's only one fly half of the Clapham Falcons, and that's because I don't play second fiddle.
But also, you hadn't met her, so you can't really get too upset about that.
Well, I thought she was the one, Sophie. I'm going to be honest. After our initial date on this podcast, where it got a pretty frisque, we were talking about touching knees and arms and legs. It was quite... You know, if Freddie wasn't in the room, it would have got very hot and sweaty, put it that way.
I think, I know you're trying to, like, speed things along and get things to go really fast, but I don't know if you can consider a Zoom call as a date. Like, I just don't know. I just think maybe going forward, that's one thing you need to bear in mind.
Yeah, well, I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson on that. And, I mean, looking back on it, there was a few things that just didn't really work out. One, she'd never heard of number 32. I mean, who's not heard of number 32?
That's pretty bad.
Where's she been living? And the second thing was, which I did say, when I was out with the Chassis Monsters, which are my CrossFit team, you're more than welcome to come down and watch us work out, by the way, Sophie. Work every Saturday morning on the Common. We normally bring down a few rowing machines, and it's pretty good viewing. We're all there with our tops off, just going for it. A couple of guys mentioned she wasn't sort of privately educated, and for me, you know, I'm in a pretty
is that
high...
a deal breaker for you?
Well, look, you have to know about Dama Bay. You have to be able to ski. You have to know about the Pelagoni Club in Greece, if you catch my drift.
I wasn't privately educated, so no, I don't.
Well,
you live in Clapham now, so
Millsy, you know, there's always hope. And also, you know, you've got a boyfriend, so I'm not trying to hunt you down.
No, thank God. I mean, that's a real shame.
Well, Archie, then after Lottie Lyon, the Lioness, yeah, we moved on to a couple of walking dates. And I remember when we spoke to Sophie, she said actually you can do fitness dates, but you got it confused between walking and fitness. Am I right?
Yeah, Sophie, I've got a bone to pick with you. You said to go out and enjoy the outdoors with them, but it was boring. You know, I'm an athlete. My heart rate didn't really go up. I think, like I've said before, if I was going to do it before, I'd have to do some kind of sprints in between to get the calories going. But the walking date was just really boring. One of them was telling me about books she read. I had to say to her, have you not heard about Netflix? that didn't go down very well. But it just didn't seem to, she didn't really get the Clapham vibe. She was from somewhere in southeast London.
You went as far as southeast?
No, I didn't. She just came to the Clapham Common. I think she said to me, have you been to Dulwich Village, Dulwich Park? It's beautiful. I said, have you been to Clapham Old Town? And she said, no. I said, look, let me show you what, you know, beautiful really is. And we walked around Clapham Common and it was okay, but it just, there wasn't any, I don't know, I guess I needed a bit of lash, you know, I needed that sort of lash of confidence. I didn't feel like I wanted to, I don't know, take my top off and do press ups, if you know what I mean. And
okay,
normally when I'm in Infernos and I take my top off and I do press ups, you know, I don't know. It makes me feel sexy, and I think it makes people around me, the females around me, feel sexy. So there wasn't.
Do you think that has anything to do with her and like the fact that you just didn't have the right chemistry?
I don't know.
Because like someone should make you feel sexy all the time. It should make you want to take your top off and do press ups all the time.
Well, I think maybe it was her. I just didn't get the sense that I wanted to take my. If you get, I guess in a way. I didn't get the vibe from her that, you know, we could take our clothes off and take a black run down one of the ski slopes in Val d'Isère and make love.
Well, Sophie, he then heard about, from our guest Freddie Burns, a celebrity dating app called Raya.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but...
I know Raya.
Archie then tried to get on it, and what happened?
Rude. I mean, I am... I don't want to throw my teddies out the pram, but I am. I've got nearly 30,000 followers on Instagram. That is more than you can fit into the stoop, okay? And I don't have a blue tick, but it's pretty sure under my Instagram it says CEO of Clapham.
Love CEOs on there. Yeah. I'm just so surprised as to why you weren't accepted.
Well, okay. I told them that multiple built-on companies have asked me to advertise their products on my Instagram. So I think you'll find I am a celebrity.
I mean, that is pretty much like absolute bona fide celebrity status there.
Yeah. So,
that's weird. I don't know. So, did you apply and they just gave you a straight up no and rejection?
They said
or
no.
Did you just not even get as far as the app? Did you not even get a referral from a friend?
No. They just, I basically rang them up and I had it out with them. I said, this is absolutely disgusting. I said to them, I've been asked to go and come dine with me. And they just never came back to me on that email.
It wasn't
email.
Good enough. They weren't interested. They want arty people. They don't want rugby guys from Clapham.
I've got long hair now. Okay, so that's pretty arty. Yeah.
Welcome to Archie's Cocktails. This week, I'm taking you through one of my favourite cocktails, the Bollinger Cocktail, or as I like to call it, the Bolly Bottle. All you need is one bottle of Bollinger, two chicken fillets, some mint, some Pimm's, and half an avocado. Cook the chicken fillets until they're well done, add them to a blender, put a splash of Bolly, a splash of Pimm's, some avocado, blend, put it in a champagne glass, and add a little bit of mint. It's the perfect cocktail for summer to get you pissed, but also keep you lean.
Sophie, we then moved on to the lash of all lashes last weekend when Archie exploded and actually kind of peaked a bit too early and shamed himself somewhat, but then re-rallied and hit up the Triangle of Terror, where he met a 42-year-old mother of two or three, I think it was.
Two. Gloria.
So, Arch, you wanted to wait to reveal what happened? Can you let us know?
Okay, guys, this is slightly embarrassing, but Sophie, you might be able to help me. I met her, and she was a beautiful woman with... if I could describe her in one word, I'd say busty. We went for a date at Megan's last weekend. I was just saying to Freddie, if you haven't been, you must go. The way they cook their avocados is simply delicious.
Amazing. I'll put it on the list.
We got on pretty well. We had a few glasses of Bolly, and Bolly really does get me going. And I suppose the first bit I was worrying is when we left Megan's and we went for a walk on the common. I had my rugby ball with me, and I was going to show her some up and unders. And one of my shoelaces was undone, and she bent down to do it, and she sort of talked me through the way doing my shoelaces in quite a weird manner. then after we did the up and unders, and by the way, she was really impressed because I was kicking the ball pretty high and catching it. We went for some gelato. There's a great gelato shop in Old Town. Highly recommend it. It's right next to number 32. And it got everywhere. It was a bit of a messy experience, but I guess I was trying to show her, you know, my tongue action. But then again, straight after the gelato, she pulled out some wet wipes from her bag and wiped my face down and said I was a messy little boy. So then we obviously went to number 32 under your recommendation, and it was glorious. We shared a jug of Pimm's, and she suggested that I come back and she would cook me supper. So went back to her house. It's a lovely, lovely four bed in Kensington. She's obviously done pretty well for herself. The kids were out. She made me sausages and mashed potato, and asked me if she minded feeding it to me, which I didn't mind at the time. That escalated to the bedroom where, it was quite weird. She asked me to call her mummy the whole time. And I just found the whole experience a bit weird. And from the whole of that rest that evening, I couldn't call her Gloria, but I had to call her mummy or mum. And she wanted to tuck me into bed after we did the deed. I guess you can say I had a few rucks over her. It was just a bit of a weird experience. And I initially thought she could be the one, but I think, I don't know if I'm looking for that. I find the older woman, it was just a bit weird. And now she's texting me quite a lot saying, mummy would like to see you when you've got a bit of free time. So I don't know whether she's the one.
At what point did it really like hit you that you didn't think she's the one? Was it when she tried to feed you mashed potatoes, or when she tucked you up in bed after you'd had sex with her?
Well, great question, Mosey. I'd say when she was feeding me the mashed potatoes and sausage, I did say to her, Gloria, do you mind just going a bit soft on the potatoes? I'm not that big a fan of carbohydrates. And she said, mummy will do as she pleases. And that really started to freak me out. And she made me eat more mashed potato than I wanted to. But she was at this point starting to make moves on my body physically. And I'm a man, Sophie. I don't know if you realize, quite a man. And when a 42-year-old lady touches you in the way that you can imagine she would touch you with experience, you too get excited. And you know what? I didn't mind calling her mummy for a bit. But afterwards, she was getting me to do stuff that I can't mention on this pod. But I had to call her. I had to call her mummy, but not in my normal voice. But she asked me to do it in a high-pitched voice. And that is where I drew the line.
Can you give an example? Of the voice?
It's embarrassing, but she
Come
was...
Come on, Archie, give us an example.
So she would please. Say... I would say, Gloria, can I please stop this? My mouth's hurting. And she said, you know my name. And I said, mummy, please, can I stop now? My mouth's hurting. And she said, no, the way I told you to. And I always go, mummy, please, can I stop? My mouth's hurting. And at that point, she did let me stop. My jaw was in quite an agony. I'd given her about 90 minutes of absolute pleasure. I was almost reenacting Henry the Hoover. And then she tucked me up in bed, and not in her bed, in her son's bed. And I slept there.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, but that is absolutely really traumatizing. And I'm actually really sorry that happened.
It is. But, and you know what? I've had to go back to square one, and I can't get that whole experience out of my head.
Sophie, we were going to ask, before we read out our listeners' embarrassing sexual escapades and stories from the boudoir, do you have one which you'd want to share with us, which you sort of still think about this day?
I met a lovely guy. He also works in the city, and went on a date with him a few years ago.
What's his name? I probably know him.
His name's Adam, but he's from Croydon.
No, definitely won't know him. Carry on.
Yeah, I know. I should have just, like, the name was a bit of a bad name anyway, and then Croydon, I shouldn't have bothered. I should have gone home. And also, do you want to know what's even worse? It was probably really awful, because we went to a bar in Putney. So
I don't know if we can carry on this story.
No, it's already embarrassing enough as it is. It really, really is. But yeah, I ended up bringing him back to my house anyway. And during the sex, he decided to pour a really big glass of Prosecco and pour it over me in a way that he thought was really sexy. And he just, like, slapped me in the face with this cheap Prosecco.
Oh my
And it stung
God.
My eyes. My contact lenses fell out, and I was just soaking wet from head to toe. And it was really, really
sort of like a posh
really
man water sport.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
who uses
it? Could have been maybe champagne, but no.
Who uses Prosecco? I'd use Bollinger. It's so much cleaner.
I know, it was terrible.
I've got to say, Sophie, I've never met a good Adam in my life.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I don't think I'm connected with anyone on LinkedIn called Adam, funny enough.
Don't do it. It might be him. So yeah.
Well, Sophie, we got 4 weeks to get him that wife. What's your final word of wisdom? I mean, you've been brilliant. You've helped out. At least he's been dating. We've started off the process, but what can he do?
Milsey, I need your help here. So you better pull it out of the bag.
Your one line of advice, please, Sophie.
It's actually really hard. One line of advice.
Have you got any desperate friends who are looking for marriage and kids and to settle down?
Plenty of them. I will give you all of their numbers.
Okay, send them my way.
Just get out there every single night, hit a different bar in Clapham, the city, anywhere. I don't care, like, if it's going to increase your, like, risk of getting a virus, nothing. You just need to get out there.
Yeah.
Get your wife.
I think you're right. I need to get out there, and I need to put
like
it about.
Every
I need to put it about.
Every single day.
Sophie, thank you so much for coming on. You're wonderful as always.
Thank you, Sophie.
Massively appreciate it.
So, Archie, that was exhausting, but we're going to move swiftly on to a story we've been sent in. I won't read out his name because we did say it would be anonymous. Dear Archie and Fred, here is my most embarrassing sexual experience. A rather strange and definitely unusual story. I hope you can enjoy it. I once was having sex with my first sexual partner, and after the sex, I suddenly started to feel very strange. I sat naked.
That's normal.
I sat naked on her bed and began to sweat profusely all over my body, and my vision began to blur, and I felt very lightheaded.
Whoa, has this guy been on the lash?
I staggered to the bathroom, where I attempted to sit on the toilet lid, but instead I fainted.
Hold on, does he say toilet?
Yeah, well, sadly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excuse me, mate. It's called a loo.
Yeah, or a lavatory.
Yeah.
Anyway, he sat in the toilet lid, but instead I fainted and collapsed whilst hitting my head on her bath. I lay there naked and woke up in a dazed confusion, drenched in sweat, and on her bathroom floor, with her cat meowing at me.
Oh, look, that sounds like me after a serious CrossFit session. I normally lie on my bathroom floor naked in a sweat.
Well,
he probably just had a really good workout.
Her cat was meowing at me when I was completely naked on the bathroom floor. Great chat. The whole time, the bathroom door was wide open, and her room was just next door, so she could have seen everything. At least the rig was in check. No wobbles here, Archie.
Okay, good.
Then
the cat was probably meowing to say, like, in a way, saying, like, great rig.
Then I awkwardly returned to her bedroom around 10 minutes or so later. She pretended she hadn't seen anything. Well, is that embarrassing? I suppose it's quite embarrassing.
Mate, that's possibly some of the worst chat I think we've ever had on this podcast. Can we tell people his name? Because people need to know and avoid him at all costs.
His name
is one of the worst stories I've ever heard. You know what I'm going to call him? I'll call that guy Toilet. Well, that is shocking.
His name is Theo Andre Browning.
Right. Well, mate, please don't email this podcast again. I suggest coming on the AAA BBB CCC course in September at Clapham Grand, because we need to sort out your pitter patter, mate. Jesus. Well, I won't get that minute back. I'm not going to tell the rugby boys that story. They probably asked me to leave the Clapham Falcons.
It is quite embarrassing. Woo! We should have probably vetted it properly.
Well, mate, we need to get that guy. We need to send that into some of the worst chat composition ever. Wow, that is bad bants. Well, I'm glad we told everyone his name. That is awful. I thought it was going somewhere. Rubbish. Sorry, guys. Commercial break.
Have you had a recent luxury vacation cancelled due to coronavirus? Well, fear not, for here at the PPT, the Posh People's Trust, we are experts in fighting back for that reclaimed money. All you have to do to qualify is to meet the threshold of the minimum £50,000 per person for the vacation of your choice. If your holiday was worth this much, then please contact us at www.ppt.co.uk and we will endeavour to get that money back to you. All money will be split on a 50-50 process. However, you will regain a minimum of £25,000 sent to a bank of your choice. Trust us, we know what we're doing. So, Arch, I mean, I'm incredibly excited, but if I said to you, we have a semi-pro rugby player,
yeah,
an Instagram influencer, fitness guru, Clapham resident, model, podcaster, businessman extraordinaire...
Wait, hold on, mate. We interview myself?
No. I'm saying... Because
that wouldn't work. That'd be... you just want to interview me?
No. I'm saying our guest on the podcast today.
Actually, that would be pretty cool, because I think people would like to hear more about me and the work I've been doing.
Well, I'm sure they would do, but they've had quite enough of you, I think, especially for this episode. But what we do have is the star of the recent Netflix show, Too Hot to Handle. The fellow Clapham resident.
I actually applied for that.
Did you?
Yeah.
What happened to thee?
Well, to be honest, I had so much stuff going on work-wise. It just wasn't going to work for me, scheduling-wise. I just said, guys, I'm going to take a step back.
You couldn't find the time.
It was too dangerous.
Well, luckily, David could.
People do say, I am way too hot to handle.
Well, David could find the time, and he went down an absolute storm.
No, actually, sorry. My old housemates just used to say to me, I was just too hard to handle.
Well, that does make a lot more sense, I must say, Archie.
But I think they meant too hot to handle, yeah.
David was obviously a huge success
on
the show.
So good on the lash.
Made it to the end. Couple of relationships in there, which we'll dive into when we speak to him. But, I mean, are you a bit, I don't know, anxious to talk to someone who's the sort of more successful version of you in a way?
No, not well. I don't think he's more successful than me.
Well, he's got 1.3 million followers.
Okay.
He's endorsed by Nike. You're endorsed by Bolton Company.
Okay, listen, mate. He doesn't have a job in the city like I do. I doubt he earns more money than I do.
Well, that may be the case, but I'm not quite sure.
I'll ask him.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, should we get him on?
Is he in good nick?
Mate, he's in great nick. Have you not seen the photos?
Better than nick than I am.
Mate, he's got an incredible chance.
Okay, but I doubt he can do...
Look at that.
Doubt he can do the boxing.
Look at
that. Okay, that's all right. Yeah, I mean, that could be photoshopped. Who knows?
Well...
I doubt he can do the boxing I can do. Okay? I don't know.
Mate, he looks like he could be a...
Probably doesn't even know how to play rugby.
He's an ex-semi-pro.
I am a semi-pro, Freddie.
Well, let's get him on and fight it out.
Whatever.
Without further ado, here's Mr. David Burt Whistle.
Whistley, welcome to the Rig Biz.
All right, fellas, how are you doing?
Really good, thank you, mate.
Good,
how are you?
Very good. Strong.
Yeah, I'm good. I was just watching the 4th of July announcement from you, Archie, and it's really fired me up for this chat, mate. Honestly, it's really got me going.
Yeah, well, as CEO of Clapham, you know, I have to, but, you know, little bits of time, I have to make those announcements. So I have to rally the troops. Because, mate, you live in Clapham, don't you?
Yeah, I live in Clapham. I've been here for about 6 years. Nice to be finally speaking to the CEO.
Yeah, I've been in Clapham for like 10 plus years. But because Fred was saying that you're a influencer, fitness model, also ex-semi-pro rugby player, businessman, and what else, Freddie?
Podcaster, model, you know, everything, really.
And I was like, you must have learned a lot from me.
Yeah, mate. Honestly, you've been a real inspiration. It's been, you know, just watching your following grow over the years. You know, your consistency with your posts, the way that you really put in a lot of production value to all of them. It's such an inspiration for me to one day live up to that level. So
Wisley, you're welcome. You're welcome. You know, from one guy with a chassis to another guy with a chassis, you know, you are more than welcome. Because how many followers have you got now on Instagram?
It's about 1.2 million.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Firstly, obviously, as Arch just mentioned, you were once a semi-pro rugby player for Wasps. So can you take us back to those days before you're a well-known face, you know, on the Clapham Common like Archie is? What was it like playing rugby? What position were you? What are your fond memories of those times?
Mate, rugby is a really strong pastime of mine. I played rugby when I first got into it when I was like 13 or 14. And then under 16s, I played for England and wow. I was a winger and fullback. And then Wasps kind of scouted me for there and then asked me to come and train full time with them for 2 years. Did their their apprenticeship program, which was really, really cool, like training full time and walking around the clubhouse. And it was at that time when Lawrence Dallaglio was still there and there were some really big names. You know, I think it was Wasps were European champions.
Flying high, yeah.
So it was really amazing to be around.
It's a shame because I think if I'd been in the catchment area of Wasps, I would have gone down that route as well. But unfortunately, like my school was slightly out of the catchment area.
So David, after rugby, obviously you went to St Mary's Uni, you studied strength and conditioning. And you started to get into fitness. So what led you to then get under the scouting eyes of the producers for this new Netflix show, Too Hot to Handle? What was the journey like there?
Many years. Like, I was at Simmies from 18 to 21 and like playing rugby there was brilliant. Like, that's a culture. Like, university rugby is hilarious, like, as a fresher. You know, going to the rugby socials and going out on a Wednesday night to Oceania in Kingston, they are some fond memories. I'll tell you that, lads.
I fucking love uni lash. What I just love the fact that you just all come together and you just bond on the fact that your parents are paying your student loan off for you. It's just such a nice feeling to be bonded with everyone like that.
It's epic. There's actually nothing like it. You'll never know the feeling. It's just. It doesn't happen in adult life. It only happens at university.
So, David, what led you from university to getting out of the eyes of the producers? I mean, it must have been some tale.
It was about seven years of just, you know, doing fitness and being a coach and doing some stuff on Instagram and kind of, you know, taking my shirt off and mincing around. And then eventually one of the producers just slid into my DMs and she was like, "Hey, David, can we talk?" And then I thought, all right, well, you seem nice. So we had a little chat, had a little convo, you know, she had some good banter and that's important, you know, got on well and things just escalated from there. I had like a few more interviews, a few more like conversations with the producers. And then, you know, it was like 4 months later, 5 months later, I was flying off to...
Because, David, I guess, just so I know, how many Instagram followers did you have before you went on Too Hot to Handle?
So, yeah, before the show, there was like 25,000, roughly. About 25,000. So I'd like slowly built it up, but I wasn't quite at your level, Archie. I was still kind of climbing that pole.
I guess I'm in that stage at the moment where I'm just developing my Instagram and... you know, I've still got quite a lot of body shots to put up on my sort of Instagram.
But with a chassis like yours, mate, I don't know why there's not any more like ab photos.
Well, to be honest, I'm building it up. And once it hits 30,000, which is pretty close to, then you're going to see a lot of chassis shots. You're going to see a lot of me working out. I'm actually considering going to, because you're good friends with Alex Marks, who... He was on Channel 5's The Bachelor, so whoo! I'm basically doing a partnership with him. I'm going to go down to his gym, and me and him are going to work out topless a lot.
That seems like a partnership made in heaven for some people. That's a good idea.
David,
I was there this morning, actually.
Were you really?
Yeah. I went down. We had a little workout in the outdoor section at the back.
Yeah. The guy's in great shape. And luckily, he sorted out that awful lid of his, which is great to see. And now he just needs to work on his chat.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think that you can probably... He can learn some things from you in the chat department. Maybe, like, you can take a few bits from him in the chassis department. It seems like that's an equal opportunity for both of you, really, isn't it?
Yeah, there could be a joint Instagram account coming very soon.
I think that the people are going to be disappointed if that doesn't happen. I think
you're right.
Yeah.
But Whistley, surely me and you should do a little partnership soon. You know, maybe go and do a little rugby workout in the common, give the fans what they need. Two of the biggest influences in Clapham come together to collaborate to show everyone what real rigs are made of.
Mate, I think that's a great idea. Throw me the ball anytime. Let's do it.
Freddie, write that down because we need to get that in the mix.
I will do. David, I'm fascinated to know, how much about the show did you know pre-getting out there? Obviously, the concept of the show was that you're in a house with incredibly hot single ladies and yet you have to resist them so you can get a fiscal reward at the end. How much of that did you know? Or was it kept a secret as they've shown on the show?
Yeah, I knew about fuck all. And basically, when you see the reveal, that is the first time that we find out. So it was, they did a great job of keeping it all super quiet and not letting us know anything. So it was very much just a case of like, yeah, the show's going to be great. You're going to have a great time. You're going to meet loads of fun people. It's going to be really fun. Just like, bear with us, trust us. It's going to be good. That is the kind of chat that I was getting from the producers and from everyone up top. So yeah, it was a real shock that is the direction that they decided to take it in. But I think actually it is, it's really great to have that difference in the direction that the show was taking it. Like it's quite contradicting normal reality show format, isn't it?
Well, you couldn't resist when you were out there having a couple of sort of naughty dances with some of the ladies. Do you regret some of those or not at all?
No, but you got to shoot your shot. Like,
yeah, I mean, Whistley, it's like me going to Inferno's and getting into the door and then the manager coming up to me and saying, sorry, mate, you'll not be able to pull or dance with any girls tonight. I'll be like, mate, that's impossible.
I mean, how are you going to keep two absolutely fine thoroughbred horses down like that? You just can't do it, can you, Archie? It's impossible.
It honestly is. With when I go into Inferno's and I'm wearing my tight black jeans, no socks, white shoes, my V-neck, and my hair is on point, I've got the top lip banter looking unbelievably decent, it's going to be very hard for any girl to resist, you know, the guns, the shass, and the chat. And then once they start talking to me, they find out, okay, this guy's got a lot of coin. This guy's the full package.
Yeah, it's almost impossible for them to resist. So, I mean, it's exactly the same. You know, you're in a villa with all these beautiful girls and, you know, it's inevitable, really, isn't it, that at some point in that time,
oh, yeah,
I was bound to slip up. And, you know, they threw Lydia in the mix late on, you know, in injury time. And then Lydia pops up and I'm like, well, you know, guys, what am I supposed to do? You know, don't hate me, but got to go for it, haven't I?
It reminds me very much, my family, about, I think probably about 6-7 years ago, we went to Greece on a family holiday. And after we were there for 10 days, after 5 days, my uncle came out with his stepwife and her daughter, and I was looking unbelievably good. My shass was tanned, my chat was on point, I'd been on the lash, I was full of confidence. And I remember my old man saying, listen, no funny business with Uncle Mark's daughter, stepdaughter. But in the end, she couldn't resist. I said to her one night when we were quite pissed, do you want to play spin the bottle? She was like, no. By the end, she agreed. We pulled the bottle and I pulled her.
It was inevitable.
Exactly. So I know how you feel. Just Whistley, how do you think I would have got on on the show? Do you think I would have done pretty well? Because I did audition for it, but unfortunately it clashed with a lot of the meetings I was having in the city.
it's tricky because I think that it would have been really difficult to be there with you because you'd have taken a lot of the attention from the other girls, and the, you know, that would have been tricky for us to try and, you know, deal with that situation when all the girls are kind of just going after one guy. It's pretty tricky for the rest of the fellas to kind of get on with them.
But, yeah, okay, you know, look, that, but I would have said to you, Wisley, I'd have said, we'd have figured out pretty quickly, you live in Clapham, I live in Clapham. I would have been that kind of guy where in the morning I'd have said, hey, listen, David, why don't we go down to the beach and do a quick AMRAP, and then we can come back and have some juice and we can chat about birds. And, you know, we could have been a team.
That would have been brilliant. It probably would have made the whole experience a lot more enjoyable to have that, you know, like security of having the CEO of Clapham like side by side with me, talking about girls, getting a tan chassis and just making the most of the experience. Like, do you think you would have lost us much money?
I don't know, because the problem is, you know, a lot of people know this, I've got a pretty high basic salary. So when they'd offered me $100,000, I would have been like, okay, guys, that's not really going to make a difference to my life. So I'm out here and I'm going to do some damage, if you know what I mean. So I think I would have rubbed a lot of people out the wrong way. But on the other hand, I would have had a lot of fun.
You know, $100,000 is not that much for you. You've got to find something that's really going to be tempting you away from getting the girls. It's a tricky one. Perhaps they should have just increased the prize money specifically for you, and then it would have been a bit fairer on the rest of us.
What I will say is that this sounds like we should really one night head down to Northcote Road and we can just, you know, double team. Not literally, you know, we can go out there and just do some damage together.
I don't know why it's not happened yet.
It's coming. Listeners, it's coming, and be prepared. That's why they've made Northcote Road, you know, pedestrianised, because they know this night is inevitable.
Yeah, well, I think we probably have to do, we'll go to the common first, play some rugby, throw some left-handed passes, you know,
yeah,
just because we can.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then, you know, a few spiral kicks from one end of the pitch to the other. And then obviously, you know, nip down to Northcote and have a few pints and chat to a few girls.
Hit Archer Street Wine Bar and sink some flutes.
I mean, that seems like the obvious place to start.
David, I want to know, what's life been like since the show's come out? Obviously came out during lockdown, you know, millions of people watching it. How's your life changed? How does it feel to be back in Clapham? Are you dating anyone? You know, what is life like being back in Clapham?
You Mate, must have absolutely smashed it with birds.
Well, this is the problem. We've been in lockdown, haven't we? So there's actually, like, legitimately, it was a really weird experience, fellas, because, like, the show comes out and online, digitally, on my phone, it's just exploding. But then you walk outside and there's no one around. It was such a surreal experience, I'm not going to lie. And I felt like there was, like, it wasn't really real, because no one in real life, no real people were kind of coming up to me and, like, saying anything. It's actually only recently, because I've been going out, because lockdown has eased, that people actually come up and, like, recognise me and stuff.
You know, you're sort of some hot property on this, you know, massively viral show. Have you been sent some weird videos, requests from ladies?
Yeah, I mean, the DMs are full of them. You get some really sweet people, not going to lie. We do get some really sweet people, but I think that I got some very interesting DMs from people I've never spoken to before. Women are as brash as the guys.
What's the weirdest thing you've got?
A girl messaged me yesterday and basically just said, and this is the first message, it was like, I'll let you put it in my ass and you don't even have to try. Or,
if you're not going to deal with her, send her my way.
I'll forward it on. I'll screenshot and send it to you.
Is there a lucky lady in real life?
No, not at the moment. Just, you know, seeing how things go and open to...
Are you on the apps? We're trying to get Archie a wife. He's tried all the apps. He wasn't allowed on Raya. I'm guessing you're going to be allowed on that now.
No, I'm actually going to tell you straight up that Raya have not allowed me onto the app.
It must be Clapham then, because I tried and they said no.
Well, like, I don't know if... I haven't actually officially been rejected, but I have applied to it. And I'm just like, I don't know, I guess on a waiting list or something. But I applied like 3 years ago. And I'm still on the waiting list. And so I reapplied about 2 months ago when the show came out and thought, well, this will do. Like, I'm on Netflix, for God's sake. I'm like, I messaged them. I was like, guys, please sort me out here. And they were like, yeah, you're on the waiting list.
I wrote to them. I was just saying earlier, I wrote to them and said, guys, I've got 30,000 followers. That's more that can fill the stoop. Like, get me on here. There's some hot girls that need my C-H-A-T chat.
I really wasn't sure where you were going to go with that word when you started with a C.
Me neither. Sometimes I just talk and I don't even know where I'm going. I think that's why girls quite like it, because I can just talk for England and sometimes I don't even know where I'm going. But can I just say, before this interview finishes, Uncle Mark, I'm really sorry. You probably didn't know that about me.
David, Archie's organising his stag do, and I'm pretty sure you guys are, you know, you seem to be loving each other.
Whistley is coming.
He's planning it in the Las Vegas of London, which is Clapham. I think this is a beautiful sort of brother kinship joining.
Yeah.
Archie, I think it's the right time to invite him.
I think, you know, Whistley obviously respects me, and, you know, I respect him for respecting me.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. And, I mean, it's a real honour to be invited to such a prestigious evening.
Well, you're not a problem. Let's definitely try and catch up in Gales for a quick coffee, maybe a flat white and one of their gluten-free cookies, and we can discuss business and potentially doing a partnership together.
Mate, that sounds like the absolute dream. You know where to find me, man. Just drop me a message.
Cheers, Whistley.
David, thank you so much for coming on, mate. You're a great guy, and hopefully we can see you soon for a couple of pints and a workout in Clapham.
Yeah, lads, thanks for having me.
Mate, thank you.
Well, Archie, I think we found your match there, mate. He is the real deal.
Don't it's my match. He said that he learned a lot from me.
Yeah, I think he was.
I thought
nice.
I was, you know, I thought we were gonna, you know, be two alpha males going for it, but quickly I established myself as the alpha male, and he realised that he'd come to the podcast with the chief chat officer, and yeah, he respected me, and that's all I ask for people to respect me.
So do you think
just in life, but in the business world, on the rugby field, and when I'm in Furnos,
life's good. Life's good. You really can't complain.
I am in some big circles.
And life,
that's out the business world. In the business world, I mix it with some of the big dogs.
Well, life's going to get even better next week because...
yes, it is.
Have we not secured a wonderful guest?
Big announcement. Some real banter is coming on the show in the form of Big Jim Hamilton.
The melted wheelie bin himself.
I cannot wait. I'm a big fan of the rugby pod.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to have some seriously good chat with Big Jim.
Well, it would be great for him to come on. You know, obviously we were the number one rugby pod in the country last week and also across Asia, which was niche but wonderful to see. America, obviously.
I do a lot of business in Asia.
That's why they're tuning in. Well, it's going to be great to have him on. I'm really excited for that. We've also got a couple of surprises up our sleeve coming. I think we've got some new merchandise coming out, actually,
tomorrow.
Which is incredibly exciting.
Bucket hats, other hats, loads of hats.
Well, yeah, to be specific, a CCO cap, which is limited edition for the summer. We got some new bucket hats.
Can I just make a little announcement, though? If you're going to wear that, that's fine, but you just have to respect that I am the original chief chat officer.
Yeah, yeah, okay. They're wearing it in sort of a homage, in honour of you, I'm guessing. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode. We can't wait to speak to you once more next week.
Guys,
to the Instagram page.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I really hope Uncle Mark's not going to get angry at me.
Well, mate.
Maybe take that out. I don't know.
Okay, possibly. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back.
Don't forget to write some seriously funny banter.
We'll be back next
week. On the Instagram page. There's been some really funny ones recently. There's one guy who was like, pretty angry at us, and it's like, whatever, mate, your chat stinks.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.